Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday, January 3rd, 2014. On this date, 3 years ago today, we began the Buckmaster Show, our first show 3 years ago. And so that means today we begin year four, and want to thank my producer and I, Rosemary Brandt, want to thank everyone for their support of our work. It has been very, very gratifying. We are live weekdays during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, and we stream the show and podcast it for any time, anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Want to do a big quick shout out to the media partners, TucsonCitizen.com, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, and BlogForArizona.com are our media supporters. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon, State Senator Steve Farley is with us in studio. Steve is a Democrat representing Tucson's Legislative District Number 9. Joining me to question Senator Farley, Sarah Garrett Gasson is here. Sarah is editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And Linda Valdez, who is celebrating her birthday today, Tucson-based editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic. If you have a question or comment for Steve Farley, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show on Facebook. We're very easy to find. If you can spell my name, you will, even if you can't spell it, you'll probably still get to the Bill Buckmaster Facebook page. First, welcome to our guest, Steve Farley.
It's an honor to be here on your beginning of your fourth year.
Beginning
Congratulations,
of the fourth
Bill.
Year already.
Yeah.
And happy birthday to Linda Valdez.
Thank you, Bill.
And Sarah, always good to see you.
Well, thank you very much.
And I trust everyone had a nice holiday.
Very good, yeah.
Very good. Senator Farley, first of all, it is good to have you with us, healthy and in one piece after really a traumatic event that you had this fall on I-10.
Yeah, that was...
You were on your way to the Capitol.
I was on my way back from the Capitol. We had had a rather tempestuous meeting where the leader of the Democratic Senate caucus was replaced, and on the way back from that, I ran into the real meaning of a tempest, which certainly put everything we deal with at the Capitol in perspective. I was driving in the eastbound lanes of I-10, just after it turns from 2 to 3 lanes at the town of Picacho, just north of Picacho Peak. And then, basically out of nowhere, all of a sudden, you have zero visibility from the dust that's whipped up from the west. I slowed down slowly with the rest of the people in my direction, which was a good thing that we did that, and then we just stopped. The other people on the other side did not do the same thing. Some people slowed down and stopped. While we were all stopped there, I decided to stay in the traffic lane, even though they say not to, because I did not want people to come forward and then go forward into the dust across the way.
Tough call, yeah.
Very tough, but at the same time, I'm glad I did that because no one was able to get killed or hurt on our side.
Yes.
But the other side, an 18-wheeler came through at full speed, and then you started hearing the carnage.
What can be done about this?
There's actually a lot you can do about it. ADOT's been looking at this since the previous bad incident, 2 years previous, and had a committee that didn't meet very often, and I'm trying to put that into high gear. I've talked with a number of people who are dust mitigation experts, people who have been working with NASA on spotting dust storms quickly and getting the feedback back. I think the most promising thing right now, I'm tracking down the ownership of certain parcels that are directly related to mile marker 212, where a lot of the worst things have happened, where all the silt is piled up, sometimes 5 feet deep. The dust control people who work for mines usually, they've talked to them. They say it's easy to put things into the soil to clump it together better and then revegetate with native vegetation. And then you can basically eliminate most of the danger right there. And this is a national hazard. This is a major east-west corridor for the interstate system. There's no reason we should not be doing, with current technology, something to stop this from happening.
It is one of the deadliest stretches of interstate, certainly in the United States. Let's welcome now Linda. Linda Valdez, your question for Steve Farley.
Senator Farley, I've been caught in some of those dust storms, too, so I wish you the best of luck in doing something about that. But I'd like to ask you about the tempest you were leaving when you got caught in the dust storm, the ousting of Senator Leah Landrum Taylor as minority leader. There was a lot of bad feelings surrounding that event. Why was it handled the way it was? She felt very badly that she should have been given the chance either to step down or that she should have been able to decide whether she could handle running for Secretary of State and being Minority Leader. Why was it handled the way it was?
Well, there were a number of people in my caucus who felt very strongly it was time for a change in leadership. And some of them actually met with her 2 weeks before that meeting happened and offered her the chance to step down to do this gracefully. To say there are people who are concerned, A, about some of the decisions she made during leadership in the past election. She was only elected by one vote in the previous November, so there were some divisions that were present from there. B, there were people concerned about her run for Secretary of State and how that would distract from the need of having strong leadership in the Senate for what could be a very tempestuous session this time. And the offer was made. There are enough votes to take to change leadership, including two votes who voted for her last time. And the plan that my colleague offered to her was step down, we'll endorse you for Secretary of State, and we will give you a position as Leader Emeritus or something along those lines so that everyone could basically stay. But sadly, that was not something that she decided to do, and she remained unrepentant at the meeting, and the votes were there for my colleagues. It was an 8-5 vote and pretty strong sense that there needed to be change in the caucus.
And what kind of residual resentment is there in the caucus now? How is that going to play out in the coming session?
Well, Senator Lander Taylor is now saying she's walking back some of the comments she made that were pretty inflammatory after that time. She's saying that she wants to help heal things and make those things happen. I think most people are getting back together, and the thing that I think folks need to understand is that last session there were similar tensions happening within the entire Democratic caucus. Nobody saw them at the time, and they did not get in the way of voting for the things we needed to vote for, like Medicaid expansion. When it comes right down to it, we are representing our constituents and our values, and that's not going to change no matter who's in leadership.
All right. State Senator Steve Farley is with us. Our Friday Focus interview. Here is now Sarah Garrett Gaston of the Star.
One of the things that has come up very publicly has been the just awful decision by some in CPS, Child Protective Services, to basically set aside more than 5,000 reports of child abuse or neglect without any investigation. And that's an ongoing process, reconnecting with those cases and looking into those situations. What is the feeling among your caucus and broader, that what role will CPS and changes to CPS or funding, how will that play into the session going forward?
It's a pretty important issue to a lot of us. I've been very concerned with the leadership of Clarence Carter of DES since last December, when he arbitrarily cut off outside agencies from funding who were working with the parent reunification efforts and visitation that were supervised, a lot of things that really deeply affect kids' lives who were in the system. He cut it off without warning and then reinstated it, saying that it was a mistake a month later. That's a problem with that leadership. And then he asked for the money that he said he needed in the next session, saying it would cover everything that needed to happen. We had a special session to give that money in place. And then this stuff came out about these non-investigated cases that it's just absolutely shocking. If we can't protect our kids, I'm not sure what we are doing in state government. This has got to be our number one goal in the state legislature, is adequately funding and protecting our kids. So we've got to approach it by clearly triage the problem. We've got to get these cases investigated to make sure that there aren't cases out there that we don't know about because they were reported by one person 18 months ago and never got investigated and the kids are still in trouble. We need to get through all those cases, and we need to make sure this never happens again by being able to fund appropriate pay levels, appropriate levels of advancement for the investigators, an incredibly tough job. But we also have to refund the types of prevention programs that have been cut over the last 8 years by some of the very Republican legislative leaders that have been saying CPS is abandoning their duties. The reason CPS is seeing dramatic increases in kids in trouble compared to the rest of the country where it's going down is because we've cut off these prevention programs that were proven to work. And when Senate President Andy Biggs says you can't just throw money at the problem, he's ignoring the fact that he stole money from the solutions. We have to reinstate the solutions that were proven. Healthy families, all those other programs that were actually trying to keep families intact, increase parenting skills, and stop the problem before it becomes a problem. That's exactly what we need to refocus on, at the same time as dealing with these problems that will be left over from the cuts years ago.
12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. We will take our first break, and we will be back with State Senator Steve Farley, our Friday Focus interview on the three-year anniversary edition of the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Have you had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I want to welcome a new sponsor to our program. If you are looking for any home remodeling, please, these folks know what they're doing. Moncada Construction, bonded and insured. Chris Moncada and his team specialize in interior painting, drywall repair, insurance restoration. They will do it all. Here's their number, 520-390-2247. And if you didn't get a chance to write that down, just check it out on the web, Moncada, M-O-N-C-A-D-A, construction.com. And yes, Chris and the gang, they take credit cards, no problem there. So we welcome Chris. Thank you for believing and supporting the Buckmaster Show. Steve Farley is with us, State Senator, Democrat District 9. Linda Valdez is here from the Republic, and Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Star. Some news, I understand, on your colleague, now your former colleague in the State Senate, longtime legislator Linda Lopez.
Yes, I just 10 minutes before we came on the air, I read that she submitted her letter of resignation effective opening day, which is January 13th. So that'll start the process as soon as that gets into place.
Anything of news value in the resignation letter?
Well, she praised Senate President Abby Biggs a lot and said that her colleagues were tearing down the something about the value of the legislature or the it seemed a little strong for a resignation letter, but we'll see how that goes over with folks.
Okay, here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
I wonder if, as a state lawmaker, are you ever, I know the session, you know, lasts a prescribed number of days and can stretch, but are you ever not on duty in the sense of you're always talking to constituents, working on issues, or is it confined to, yes, the actual session is when things get done?
No, I've been working probably harder in this off session than I've ever worked this session in particular, but you just ask my daughters what it's like to go out and get a burrito at Los Betos or something. There's always somebody coming up, sometimes two or three people coming up until they're like, Dad, this is our time.
Yeah.
So grabbing that time can be difficult for them. I make sure that I have blocks of time to focus on them because they're my most important priority. But that's one of the things about this job is you are on all the time. And I understand I'm a public figure, but that's part of the sacrifice I've decided to make in order to have the ability to help transform people's lives, hopefully for the better. And it's not one that everybody can make, but we do work. We work constantly, and you get in a mode where you start to think when you encounter anything that seems to be a problem, you're on. I remember 5:15 New Year's Day morning. Don't ask why I was up at 5:15 New Year's Day morning. I was checking on Facebook, and one of my Facebook friends was talking about her developmentally disabled son who needed nutrition assistance for his whole life, and what absolute hell she was going through to try to get that assistance renewed, in waiting in lines for people to say you're on the wrong line for hours, trying to bring her son along to do that, and not having any help in getting that, and she has to have renewed every year, even though it's a lifetime condition. Mm-hmm. So I immediately had my office look into it and see what we can do to help, not just for her, but everyone else who's in that condition. And that type of thing, you have constituents asking you for help with different state agencies all the time. It's part of what's most rewarding for me. But it does mean this is a full-time issue because people have crises not on schedules and certainly not on my schedule. So you're coming with ideas for legislation. You're helping constituents. You're out there talking to people. You're organizing. You're getting reelected every 2 years. You're trying to raise money for the campaign. You're walking door to door. I cannot tell you how many doors I walked in this last election. But it was every day from April through November.
Before I give it over to Linda Valdez, we had a caller who wondered about on follow-up on Senator Lopez. What's the process? Can you quickly give that to us, Steve?
It's a good question, and we're not quite sure yet. If the resignation letter is effective after noon on the 13th, then it takes 5 days, the Constitution says, to replace. If it is before session, before noon on the 13th, then it's 21 days. I'm hoping the Senate president doesn't decide that he would rather have a vacant Democratic seat in the Senate for 21 days and therefore forces it early. I'm hoping that his respect for the institution is more than that, and we end up trying to rush a new senator in there and make that happen as quickly as possible what we need to have.
Right.
We need representation from Southern Arizona in particular.
Here's Linda Valdez of the Republic.
You served on the Joint Task Force for Income Tax Reform, and they made some recommendations. I believe you were the vote, one of two votes against those recommendations,
right,
which have to do with collapsing the tax brackets. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and what we can expect to see in the next session regarding those reforms?
It was a strange process because there was a lot of testimony in that committee. It was some legislators and some outside experts and business groups who were on that committee. And a lot of the testimony, the J.D. Mesnard, who was the chair of the committee and brought this together, seemed to be very interested in moving us towards a flat tax, meaning a tax that has one bracket with one percentage and getting rid of most tax deductions or all tax deductions, preferably from their perspective. The problem with that is a disaster for the middle class and the working class in this state who have already been just put upon immensely by this economic crisis, and they have not been able to come back. To raise the taxes on the middle class in this state while reducing it on the super rich just doesn't seem the way to go. So I don't understand why that would be a direction to move in. And neither did many of the people testifying. They talked about the state of Utah, which moved to flatten their system to a one bracket. But they had started out at a system where basically everyone earning more than $10,000 a year paid the same bracket anyway. And their one bracket they moved it to is actually a percentage point higher than our highest bracket in Arizona. So everyone had basically agreed that our income tax system in Arizona is one of the simplest and lowest and least burdensome tax systems in the country. So why are we fixing it was the question that lay throughout the whole thing. So we had a few little things that could help small businesses in particular and any businesses filing to be able to e-file, for example. Corporations and small businesses have to file by paper their taxes with the state, which doesn't make any sense anymore. Those were good common sense recommendations we did. But they sadly went further and said that we need to reduce our brackets from the current 5 to 3 with an eye towards moving it to 1, which I think would be horrible. Basically, we actually saw a projection from the Joint Legislative Budget Committee of what it would cost Arizonans to move to a pure flat tax, and it would raise taxes on everybody earning less than $100,000 a year, 80% of Arizonans, everybody, to reduce it on taxes of people in the top 20%, and dramatically for those in the top 1%. That's not where we need to go. The way you really spur your economy is making sure that the people on the lower end of the economic spectrum have the money to spend in their communities where it gets recirculated in Arizona. If you give tax cuts to the super rich, it goes offshore, it goes to New York, it helps investment bankers, it doesn't help the state of Arizona. Basic economics is something I think that we need the people who are running our revenues in the state to understand. That the type of money that really helps the economy is the type of money that's spent locally.
What is that going to? Does it have legs in the legislature? The three bracket idea.
It does because it is ideologically attractive to people in the majority party. That's the sad part of it. Is for some reason that has gone along with the Republican ideology right now is the flatter, fairer tax. You hear that all the time. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense from the perspective of how it helps the average Arizonan. It makes no sense from the points of spurring the economy, basic economics. But for some reason, it makes sense as a talking point for those who would like to say that they're cutting taxes.
All right, just about out of time. You must be very happy with what you're seeing with the downtown Tucson streetcar. You were an early advocate of the streetcar, the modern streetcar. Like what you're seeing?
It's very exciting. I mean, we're seeing all sorts of people come on board to support the streetcar. We're seeing that development, $800 million in private development within three blocks of a four-mile route in the worst recession we've ever had. It's doing exactly what I knew it would do when it was first banging against the doors.
And when was that you were first doing that? How long? I
went back and edited a map I did because I wanted to do a map like a real transit map, like a real city has. In 2001 is when I did that.
Okay.
It included the streetcar route on it. Now I've done a map I call EduLink with the streetcar extensions that joins all the U of A campuses with the airport along the Campbell-Kino corridor all the way to the Cancer Center. It joins all the PCC campuses. It joins all the high schools, and people are loving it.
All right, Steve Farley, good luck to you in the upcoming session. Happy New Year. Hope it's a great year for
you.
Thanks
yes,
so much.
It's going to be a good one.
All right, Linda and Sarah, stick around for our Reporters Roundtable next on the three-year anniversary edition of the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
Even for January and even for New England, it's cold today with the temperature dropping to just 2 degrees in Boston earlier and a wind chill of minus 20. One man trying to clear a sidewalk in front of a restaurant in Massachusetts said the cold was worse than the snow, which was almost 2 feet deep in some parts of the region. The Obama administration announcing a pair of executive actions aimed at strengthening federal background checks for gun purchasers, and there is a particular focus on limiting firearms access to those with mental health issues. Five members of an international aid group have been taken in for questioning in northern Syria. Their group, Doctors Without Borders, says five have been out of contact since last evening. On Wall Street, the Dow's up 20 points, the Nasdaq down 11. More details at srnnews.com.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our three-year anniversary edition on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It's time for our Friday Reporters Roundtable. Joining me on the roundtable, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, and Linda Valdez, Tucson-based editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic. Ladies, good to have you with us. Thank you.
Good to be here.
Sarah, first of all, I want to commend you on your last, I think it's your last two columns.
Well, thank you. Your
columns come out Thursday in the Star, but these are kind of personal columns.
They were the...
Not writing about necessarily the news, but your life, your personal experiences,
right,
around the holidays. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One was about, the first one, it appeared on Christmas, which was Wednesday instead of Thursday, but mm-hmm. It was kind of just a contemplation about how we celebrate Christmas and how the whole phony war on Christmas, and how I think, in my view, which is what I was writing about, that Christmas is something that encompasses everyone. You can call it different things. It's just the spirit of being together and enjoying each other and being grateful for what we have. Mm-hmm. And I have to give a little shout out to Sparkle Pig, who is we don't have a tree at our house because we have wiener dogs, but we do have he started out life as a lawn ornament, but now he is our Christmas tree.
Oh, now if you did have a tree, the dogs, let's put it this way, if you did have a tree, it wouldn't be a tree for long in the living room.
Right. One of our dogs, Olivia, is very industrious and likes, one of her favorite things to do is to pull branches off bushes. And so it would turn into like a hedge rather quickly.
Oh, boy. Okay. Linda Valdez, you had I think it was New Year's Day. Several of the editorial writers made some predictions
in
the Republic for the upcoming year. And I want to start with, of course, 2014 being an election year. You write that Arizona Republicans will offer a replay of the 2012 GOP presidential primary. Republican candidates for governor Andy Thomas and Al Melvin will push the already extremist crowd off the right edge of the flat earth.
Yes, I did say that, Bill, and the result will be that whoever emerges, and I was predicting Doug Ducey would emerge from the primary, whoever emerges will then suffer from what Mitt Romney suffered from. He will be tainted by that process, and Fred Duval will become our next governor.
So there'll be a lot of beating up on each other in the Republican primary.
Well, I maybe beating up on each other, yes, but I think there will also be this effort to try to get further to the right of the next fella. which is what the Republicans did in the presidential primary with Mitt Romney. He was not nearly as extremist a candidate as he made himself out to be in order to try to get through that primary. And I think that's what's gonna, that's what a lot of the, that's what the Republicans in Arizona are gonna have to do as well. They've, and with Al Melvin and Andy Thomas, you don't get much to the right of Al Melvin and Andy Thomas. Yeah, so they are going to have to work very hard, Ken Bennett and Doug Ducey, in order to appear more right.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. Captain Melvin has been on the program here saying that he is the most conservative candidate in this field. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. And I think, Sarah, this really does put Fred Duvall in a pretty good position.
Yeah, he can sit back and watch the Republican side of the ticket fight amongst themselves. And as Linda said, try to be more and more and more conservative and extremist, because that is what plays with some primary voters, unfortunately, because people don't get engaged in our political process nearly early enough. So, yeah, Fred Duvall is in, I think, a great place.
There's one downside of that, though. Fred Duvall is going to have to work hard not to be invisible during this process. Mm. It might actually help him if he had a primary, mm-hmm. A not very challenging primary, because he would get more coverage and more attention.
Right, name recognition is
exactly,
so important. Yeah. And, of course, Fred has had a great career, but he's still not necessarily a household word.
And
in
he's
Arizona.
Not going to, and it's going to be hard to get news coverage if he doesn't mm-hmm. have any primary candidate to play off of during the next, the months between now and the primary.
790-2040 is our Buckmaster Show live line. If any of our listeners would like to join in the conversation, we would welcome that. And because, Sarah, that the incumbent Republican Secretary of State Ken Bennett is running for governor, that means there's an open seat for Arizona Secretary of State. And this is really an important office. We do not have a vice governor, a lieutenant governor in Arizona, and we have seen history has repeated itself time and time again that the Secretary of State has ascended to the governorship.
Mm-hmm. And I think Terry Goddard, who has tried to get into that top office three times unsuccessfully, despite being a really good candidate and someone who I think would be a very good governor, is, I guess, maybe trying to get in the next level. So he's jumping into the race where, as we were talking in the previous segment, that Senator Leah Landrum Taylor is already pretty much declared, and he's
until recently she was the Senate Minority Leader.
Yes. So
I don't know really a lot about her.
I have to say that I don't either, and that's probably not a good foreshadowing for a campaign if you don't have, part of it is Terry Goddard has name recognition.
Yes.
So that's something that she's going to have to run up against.
Terry certainly does have the name recognition.
He does have the name recognition. He has so much to contribute to Arizona. It was a little surprising to me that he chose this race and that he chose it at this time. He took his time to think about it. He apparently was thinking about the AG's race also. I would love to see Terry Goddard in high office in Arizona again. I'd love to see him in the governor's office. I think he has a lot to offer, but I really wonder what he's going to accomplish by taking on Leah Landrum Taylor and creating a primary in that race. It's curious to me. It's just very curious.
And the other thing is, speaking of the Attorney General's race, there's a lot of oxygen that could be used up among the Democratic Party in getting people out to vote. They're going to, if they have Felicia Rodellini, who's...
Mm-hmm. Who went head-to-head with Tom Horn 4 years ago.
Right. And so she's declared again and will be the Democratic candidate for the Attorney General's office. So if you have two races with, kind of high stakes, that might be problematic in terms of, a singular focus for the party and getting people excited.
One of our callers to the Buckmaster Show, Matthew, is up first, and he has a question for Linda Valdez of the Republic. Go ahead, Matthew.
Hi, Linda. As you know, the FAA recently made a decision on the testing sites. They picked 6 states for testing sites for drones or unmanned aerial vehicles.
Yes.
In the civilian, potentially civilian sector. How did Arizona not end up on that list? I mean, that
Good
is
question.
Ridiculous that Texas and Nevada, I mean, our airspace is way clearer, way better days for weather. I know Gilbert was involved, and I know Southern Arizona was also interested near Fort Huachuca in Sierra Vista. Has any of our congressional delegation had any answers as to, I mean, and the state as to why we did not even end up on that list?
Well, it's a really good question, and that was the Arizona made a good effort to gain that. Understand one of the things that might have hurt us was that some of the other applicants did some partnering with other states. Alaska, for instance, did some partnering so that they could offer a variety of different climate zones and so on and so forth. And Arizona apparently considered that approach early on and decided not to go that way. I think probably what's more important in some respects than figuring out why it didn't happen was figuring out where we go in the future, because we still have the same potential to try to move our military aerospace technology into civilian uses, and we did put together a good group of people to try to make this application. So that's just, we lost out on the FAA drone, but it's not the end of the world. We can pursue other opportunities. I think that's really what Arizona needs to do at this point.
And the other sites, by the way, Nevada and Texas here in the Southwest, those coupled with Alaska, I think the University of Alaska had some, as you say, a partnership,
yes.
Linda, New York State, North Dakota, and Virginia. But I think Matthew's, he's got a good question there, Sarah. I mean, we pride ourselves on our airspace and the great flying weather that we have here.
Yes, yeah. It is a very good question. And I don't know the answer about the congressional delegation and any role there, but as Linda said, it's not an all or nothing sort of thing with developing mm-hmm. technology, and we will have other opportunities to make a bid going forward as other opportunities arise.
All right, 790-2040, 790-2040. Getting back to some of Linda's predictions, and this one is a segue really out of Steve Farley, Steve, state senator, talking about Child Protective Services. You predict that there'll be a lot of talk at the legislature, Linda, but in the end, nothing until the next crisis.
Well, I wish I didn't have to. I wish I didn't believe that, but history has shown us in Arizona that that's what happens at Child Protective Services. We go through these cycles. We have a crisis. We have a big focus. People talk about big changes, and little things happen, and then it falls under the radar screen until the next crisis. I hope I'm wrong. Really hope I'm wrong on that prediction, but history is on my side on that one.
Unfortunately, I think you're absolutely right. I think also that the finger pointing and wringing of hands and what are we going to do and who's at fault. I mean, I think Senator Steve Farley has some very valid criticisms about the head of CPS, Clarence Carter. But if we get all wrapped up in changing the leadership at the top, that does nothing to change the number of caseworkers, how people are, families are dealt with. I mean, there's a lot of structural problems that come with a system that has 10,000 mm-hmm. case backlog, that has workers burning out and being overloaded so they can't do what they're supposed to do and what they want to do.
Fundamentally, it will not change anything if they do make a leadership.
No, it won't. And it's something easy to talk about. You know, it looks like we're doing something. But any system that incorporates such structural deficiencies that those backlogs and those 5,500 cases could just be uninvestigated, that is a system that is just built to fail.
Well, and one of these predictions that Linda made, a couple of them I hope don't come true, but you say that Tucson will blunder and fail when it comes to the effort for trade with Mexico, where Phoenix is opening a trade office in Mexico City. But
I feel so disloyal to say that. I mean, I'm always rooting for Tucson, but I've been watching this, and I've been watching Phoenix move ahead, and Tucson is not. They're not moving ahead the way they should be. We have a lot of opportunity here, and I another one that I hope is not correct.
And we hope also the state puts more effort into the Mexico trade, because Texas is really, really pushing for the port of cleaning up
Texas
their port of entry.
Texas is cleaning our clock, and yeah. Texas is also going after our produce business that we have traditionally had enter through the Mariposa port of entry. There are Texas people coming here and talking about the advantages of their ports. There are Texas people going to Mexico and talking about the advantages. And there's a new highway through Mexico that will make it easier to go across Mexico and up through Texas. So we've really got to compete if we want to keep that business.
All right, 12:50 on the Buckmaster Show. Linda and Sarah, I want to wish you both a very, very happy new year. And for Linda, I hope this is a great birthday
for you. Best ever.
Thanks. And I feel very privileged to have shared an hour of your birthday with you.
Thank you very much. It's been fun to be here.
Thanks a lot. We'll have Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning. I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit CoxBusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery
Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
It is time for the weekend. Always good to hear that music officially signaling the weekend and Weekend Watch with Matt Russell. Brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, who want to wish all of the Buckmaster Show listeners a very happy new year. And thank you, Southern Arizona, for your support of Silver City and Grant County. Makes a wonderful getaway, just three and a half hours east of Tucson. So much to do in historic Silver City and the nearby Gila National Wilderness and the, of course, the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings. Wonderful places to stay in the area, including Bear Mountain Lodge and Continental Divide RV Park and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now our first Weekend Watch of the new year on this three-year anniversary edition of the Buckmaster Show. Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist Matt Russell, who is also an award-winning Tucson publicist. And as I recall, I think Russell Public Communications celebrated an anniversary this week.
Indeed, we did, Bill. And happy anniversary right back to you.
Thank
Russell
you.
Public is celebrating its 12th anniversary.
Wow.
We started the in my garage in 2002 and have grown exponentially ever since. So we're very proud of what we've been able to do, and we've got a great team here, and we're looking forward to a great year.
Yeah, it should be a great year. Okay, let's start with the happy hour on this first Friday of the new year.
Yeah, you know, our good friends up at the Parish have just come off a major expansion project, and what better way to see the finished product build than to hit them up for happy hour today. This is a Southern Fusion gastropub up on North Oracle Road, right near Orange Grove, and they're going to be rolling out some great beer and wine and cocktail specials beginning at 3 o'clock today, which you can enjoy alongside some regional bites like crawfish hush puppies and fresh Gulf oysters, even Southern frog legs. I say call on your inner Cajun and head over to the newly expanded Parish for happy hour today.
Anything going on at Dante's Fire?
Yeah, something that foodies are really going to celebrate this weekend is the new menu at Dante's Fire, of course, over on East Grant, right near Tucson Boulevard. Chef Ken Foy has added a new category to the menu, which he calls Atonement, featuring a gorgeous Kobe beef burger, a thoughtfully designed charcuterie plate, so much more. And these can all be paired up with some great craft cocktails like their spicy jalapeno margarita. Now, you don't have to stick with the new Atonement section, as delicious options are now available under the menu's Limbo, Anger, Greed, and Treachery categories.
Say that real fast.
Give this new menu at Dante's Fire a try this weekend.
Sounds like they have a terrific mixologist over at Dante's Fire.
Absolutely. Scrumptious.
What about weekend brunch?
Yeah, we're always looking for a great brunch, as you know, Bill. And now that Chef Ryan Clark has reopened Augustine Kitchen just off of Congress Street, about a half a mile west of I-10, his weekend brunch has really started to attract some serious attention. Now, while the food is reported to be legendary, I think it's their 32-ounce Bloody Marys and mimosas that are creating all the buzz, Bill. Some might say literally. Now, these big boy beverages are only $8 a piece and available on Saturday and Sunday from 9 to 2 at brunch at Augustine Kitchen.
Rose likes that idea. 32 ounces. My goodness, how do you serve that? What kind of a huge jug would you...
Well, you know, just follow my lead, Bill Buckmaster. Don't ask any questions. Just follow my lead.
Tell me something. Inside Tucson Business, what's the column about today?
Yeah, we take a look at a new taco joint, Bill, that just opened downtown that is breaking the mold of convention. And they're doing it all, as they say, with a no-rules attitude. So if you want to know what no-rules tacos is all about, pick up a copy of Inside Tucson Business and read all about it.
And you are a man who knows a good taco. Award-winning taco judge, Matt Russell. Matt, have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Cheers.
Thanks. bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, supplied by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple Culligan, for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. Thank you, Culligan. All of our in-studio guests enjoy an ice chilled bottle of Culligan water while they are here in the KVOI studios, and we really appreciate the support of Culligan. And on this three-year anniversary edition, I want to say thank you to all of the sponsors, the new ones and those that have been with us since day one, really, for your support. Rosemary Brandt, our ace producer, and myself really appreciate your support. And we also appreciate the listeners, more than 3,000 friends of the show on Facebook, and we're just very, very delighted with the progress of the way the Buckmaster Show is moving forward. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of the team, the producer, she is the ace, Rosemary Brandt. I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. We'll be back with you 12:04 on Monday afternoon. Have a great weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.